If you want to take out your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 6, we'll start there in a few moments. Always grateful for being able to worship our God together and to join together in the assembly. And He is certainly worthy of our praise. I know so often we come in to worship on a rainy day such as today and things kind of feel a little sluggish at times, but yet to realize God is just as worthy of our praise today as He is every other day of the year. So often through this summer, I just kind of plan on continuing through these thoughts in terms of statements that you hear people make so often of, that's just not a hill I'm willing to die on. And so often we think of these kind of concepts of things, of going, some things we see are a little trite, some things we look at and we go, that's not really worth the investment of time and effort. And yet in other areas, you come to find out, yes, this is where we need to be. And this is where we need to make sure we're putting our energy and our focus. And so this morning, we're going to take some thoughts and talk about, does forgiveness even matter? And whether you're talking about in terms of your relationship with God or whether you're talking about how you approach others in terms of being forgiving toward them, that's really kind of the concept that we're going to look at this morning. And in anything that you really want to have conviction in, we had better be people who are really attentive to the voice of Jesus and start to ask ourselves, can we listen to what Jesus says and then not really respond to it and feel like we're okay before God? And yet really it doesn't matter so much about how we feel as what does God say about it? Can we really call ourselves Christians if we're really not going to follow what Christ says? To be holy people. To be saints. Now, notice here in Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 14 and 15. And if you're in the Pew Bible, it's page 962, and we certainly invite you to follow along. It says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, if? He poses this statement to them, this command, to these disciples who have climbed up the mountain to hear Him teach and to hear Him speak. And He says, if. He says, if you'll forgive the transgressions of others, He says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. He says, do you realize that how you approach other people's transgressions is how God is going to approach you? Now, He doesn't say this in terms of, okay, just don't care and then everything's fine. He says, if. Now, whenever you hear the word forgive, what do you really think the response is that He's talking about? Forgiveness at the heart of it has at least two aspects. One is an aspect that says, there's a debt that you owe me because of how you've treated me. The other is, and there's a penalty that you deserve because of the way you treated me. So there's a debt that you owe me, and there's also a penalty that you deserve. Now, Jesus doesn't say, now I'm just talking about one or the other. The idea is about a total. And He says here, what about when someone transgresses against you? And literally the idea about transgression is about to go beyond the boundary line. You've gone way too far. Someone has gone too far with you. They have said words that are completely arrogant at times, full of pride. They can even be rude. And you go, you know what? We might think you owe me an apology. And if you're not going to apologize to me, then the penalty that I'm going to give you is I'm going to treat you the same way. And here's Jesus saying, if you'll forgive their transgression, He says, then I'll forgive yours. Because have we ever been the same way toward God? Now, you stop and think about these things together and realize as it comes on, there seems to be more statements in these terms about there's a debt that you owe me. And you start to think of these things of if they're not going to respond the right way, I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to make you pay every time I see you. I'm going to be short with you. I'm going to be cutting. I'm going to be sharp. I'm going to be rude. And you earned it. That's not forgiveness. Maybe it turns around in terms of there's a penalty that you deserve here because of what you've done to me. And you start to consider that, and sometimes people say, I will never forgive you so long as I live. He says, and that's the way you'll be treated, because of what you've done. Now, if those are the attitudes, not going to really be forgiving, to go, does forgiveness even matter? Well, let's see if it matters to God. Here's Jesus, verse 15. He says, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. He says, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So, does forgiveness matter? Well, does eternity matter? If eternity doesn't matter to you, then forgiveness probably doesn't either. But if eternity does matter to you, then you see that forgiveness has to take a high priority whenever we're wronged by someone else. I want you to consider the outcome. If there's no forgiveness, who bears the weight? We do. We're the ones who get to carry it. We carry the animosity. We carry the bitterness. We carry the vengeance. We carry the grudge. And we're the one that bears it all along. And to realize, they may not even know. They may be totally clueless. But we want to hold them accountable. Now, sometimes we want to try and justify unforgiveness, don't we? There's a fleshly, self-centered side that says, you owe me. And to go, oh, this is about me, this unforgiving attitude. I want you to consider in your mind who your worst enemy is, who your worst rival is. And ask yourself, do I really want to be treated by God the same way I treat them? Because here's Jesus saying, does forgiveness matter? He says, if we're going to be an unforgiving people, Jesus says, you should have no expectation of being forgiven by God. And he's not talking to the world here. He's talking to his disciples. So you start to see these things creep in, and we find reasons why it's okay for us to be rude to people. It's okay for us to be mean to the checkout person because of this long line that we had to wait in. Because we feel like we've been wronged. And you go, why? Why can't we be patient? Why can't we be kind? And realize, is that even really a sin to have to wait in line? No. Now, you see these things together, and there are other situations that happen, whether it be with neighbors, whether it be with coworkers, whether it be in families, and saying, you know what, I feel like they should suffer. If I'm not the one who takes out vengeance, then who will? I can't let them get away with this. Have we ever felt that way? You ever realize that God's the one who's going to take care of vengeance? And do you know why he's the only one qualified to do that? Because he actually has sound wisdom and judgment. It will be based upon what is righteous and what is true. Whenever you are angry, do you think very clearly? Do you typically get emotional? And the wrath that we would want to take out is really well beyond the bounds of what would even be deserved? Now, here's Jesus. And to go, can we say, well, Jesus just got it wrong? Anybody want to make that stand before God? You don't know how I've been treated. You don't know what I've endured. You don't know what I've gone through. Jesus says, I do. God says, I certainly do. And here's the command. If you want to expect forgiveness, then forgiveness has to have the highest priority in how you interact with your neighbors and your coworkers and your enemies and your friends, family. Now, Jesus shares this other story. Look over at Matthew chapter 18, page 978 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 18. So we can see that forgiveness does matter eternally. And it's not as if those things can't change. But I want you to notice what Peter asks in this question. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, submission. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? I kind of wonder whenever he asked this question, if he looked across the way and saw Andrew, his literal brother, standing there and going, how many times do I have to forgive him? And I don't know what kind of day they had had together, but it's just kind of interesting posing a question. He says, how often? Seven times? And I wonder if Peter thought, you know, I really stretched myself out here. Seven times? Well, here's Jesus' answer, verse 22. Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Oh, boy. Well, what about sin 491? What do you see Jesus' point is really being? He says, this is the way it needs to be always. Does he contradict what he said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6? Well, you know, if you get to 500, then you really, it doesn't matter anymore. You can be unforgiving and God will still forgive you. We know that's not the case. And then Jesus shares this story. And it's one of the longest parables that Jesus tells. Look at what he goes to, verse 23. And look at the area that he's talking about, verse 23. For this reason, what reason? That you should always be forgiving. In terms of what's going on here when your brother sins against you, he says, here's what we're looking at. For this reason, this is the response you should have towards your brother. He says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven must be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Notice, here's the environment. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven, and now we're talking about the king in that kingdom. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Later on, he's going to talk about God. He says, a king wished to settle accounts with his servants, his slaves, in his kingdom. Now, who here is in the kingdom of heaven? Because you've had your sins washed away by the blood of Christ when you took faith in his gospel. To be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, do you know what you were translated from? You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you were translated into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light. He says, so I'm talking to my people in my kingdom. That's us. If we've come to Christ. He says, and here's the king, verse 24. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents. This is kind of one of those terms that it's nearly unfathomable in one sense, but it's completely fathomable in another. If you were to take this idea, a talent was 15 years worth of wages. If you want to kind of translate that into our own economy, you know, the average American household makes about $67,000 by individual, just on average. And they go, if you take that and multiply it times 15, that is one talent. So you can do your own math in your head. And then you take that number and multiply it by 10,000 to be the kind of debt that he owes. If you just take an average individual income in America, we're talking about more than $10 billion. Now, if you make more than that, then you have to do the math different. Let's put it a different way. Not so much in the monetary side, let's put it in the time side. If a talent is 15 years wages, then how long would it take to pay off a 10,000 talent debt? a mere 150,000 years. Anybody in here made it to 100 yet? 150,000 years just to pay off this one debt. Now, what is Jesus trying to communicate? I'm telling you about a debt so big you couldn't live long enough to pay it off. You couldn't even live long enough to pay off 1% of this debt. Now, here's the kind of debtor, his own slave, that comes in to the king's presence where he has all authority. Then, verse 25, but since he did not have the means to repay, that's a laugher. Didn't have the means to repay. Yeah, he doesn't have 150,000 years worth of wealth built up. He says, since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. He says, I'm only going to recoup nothing, just that you'll be slaves for the rest of your life. Verse 26. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. Is that realistic? Just be patient with me for 150,000 years and I'll pay you back. What would you say to somebody if that's the way they appealed to you? You're foolish. You don't even make sense. But I want you to notice a real curious word in the midst of this. There's a worship word in here. Look at the word in verse 26. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself. That's a worship word. Here's someone who has such a vast, unfathomable kind of debt. And he comes to, now he's been called before the king. Notice he didn't come on his own accord. The king has to summon him in. And he's brought before him. And when he does, he tells him, this is the outcome of what you deserve for your debt. And he falls down at his feet and he prostrated himself. He worships. He says, have patience with me. And I'll repay you everything. He knows that's quite a bit of patience, wouldn't it be? Then, here's the response from the king. King of the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. He felt compassion. I know you don't have that kind of time. I know you don't have that kind of money. And later on, it's going to come to find out, he says, I forgave you because of the way that you pleaded with me. He says, I forgave you. And here the picture is, he says, he felt compassion and released him. What did he release him from? You don't owe me any longer. There's no longer going to be a penalty for you in this. At this point in time, here he is. He says the statement. He felt compassion, he released him, and he forgave him the debt. Verse 28. But that slave, all of a sudden, here's a response. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves. One of his own fellow slaves doesn't have a debt to the king. This is a debt just to this individual. He says, I found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, 100 days' wages. Figure out how much you make in an average day and multiply it times 100. That's the idea. It would take 100 days to pay off the debt. He says, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. He went and sought him out. And then when he found him, he choked him. Now, I don't know if it was choke him or if it was choke him. I don't know. But either way, he didn't even give him a chance to talk. He just grabs him and lifts him up in whatever way, chokes him. Maybe he doesn't even lift him up. But notice, and his statement is, pay back what you owe. Wow. How do you feel about that slave at this moment? You feel like he's thinking soundly? You think there's a guy who makes sense? You'd be like, well, he's justified. He does owe him 100 denarii. Did you have any of those thoughts whenever you were reading that verse? Let's see what happens. Verse 30. But he was unwilling. Well, verse 29. He says, so his fellow slave fell to the ground. He fell to the ground. That's the part that makes me think he lifted him up. Maybe he choked him so much he didn't hardly have breath left in him. I don't know. But he falls to the ground. This is not like whenever the man who owed the 10,000 talent debt came and fell down before the king and prostrated himself. This is not willingly. This is a man who's been put through the ringer. And so here it is. He says, he fell to the ground and pleaded with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. Doesn't that sound like an echo from the past? He says, and is this debt really possible? I mean, 100 days wages? You know, in our day and time, we're talking about $18,000, $20,000. And you go, wow. How unloving could you be? How impatient could you be? And yet, here he is, he asks him, says, have patience with me and I will repay you. Actually, something that's rooted in reality. Then, verse 30. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. His response is, debtor's prison for you. When you can pay me back in 100 days, then you can come out. And basically how that went is you would sell off a slave to someone that they would do manual labor. That person would in turn pay you for 100 days wages, and then that person would have to go and work those 100 days. But you typically wouldn't get your money until the end. Because what if the slave died? Now, there's a debt. Look at what happens. Verse 31. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Notice who this affects. Does this affect other people in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? Have you ever been an eyewitness of someone who you can tell, you know what, they have not forgiven that brother or that sister? You see the way they talk to them. You see the sharp response. And who does it grieve? It typically doesn't grieve the one who's unforgiving. Who does it grieve? Has it ever grieved you? Have you ever been the one who is unforgiving and maybe grieved your brothers and sisters in Christ? Does forgiveness matter? It matters among God's people who care about eternity. It matters to God. But does it matter to us? Look at how it continues. Verse 32. Then summoning him, all of a sudden the king issues another summons. He says, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave. Can you be unforgiving and righteous? Will these two ever join together to be unforgiving and be righteous? They never will. Never. How do you feel about one another? Is that a hill worth dying on? To forgive? It mattered to Jesus. And he did die on Calvary. He died so that we could be forgiven. So that forgiveness could be offered to even our enemy. And that they would want to come to know God because of the way that you forgive them. They know they don't deserve it. Forgiveness is never earned. It's always a gift. And to be an unforgiving people, you want to know what the king has to say about unforgiving people? Wicked slave. Oh, you're in the kingdom, but you don't have fellowship with God. I want you to think about it. We talked about it earlier. It said that whenever this man who owed 10,000 talents came to the king, it says he fell down and he worshiped, he prostrated himself before the king. With this kind of attitude, do you feel like that worship was acceptable? You can read about it specifically in Matthew chapter 5. You'll come to find out it's not acceptable. So does forgiveness matter? It'll be the difference between whether your worship is acceptable to God or not acceptable. Can we be unforgiving toward one another and say, I just want to worship God? You want to know what God says to that worshiper? You're a wicked slave. So it matters in eternity. It matters in our worship. Look at how this continues on. He says, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. He says, you pleaded with me and I responded out of compassion toward you. And remember, his fellow slaves had told the king what had happened. And yet, here's the picture. He says, I know what happened. I know he pleaded with you, but you didn't respond. Verse 38, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Mercy is about withholding the punishment. The penalty that is due is being withheld. That's what mercy is. I'm not going to treat you the way you deserve because I don't want to be treated the way I deserve before God. He says, this is how you should have responded. You should have looked at all that debt that I forgave you, and you should have just instantly gone, you know what? You should have maybe even sought out that brother and said, you know what? I want you to know you owe me 100 denarii. You don't owe me anything. I've been forgiven. I forgive you too. There should be a taking over of spirit. Then verse 34, and his Lord, notice this phrase, moved with anger. Does forgiveness matter? Does it really matter? Do you want God to be angry with you? Even being in the midst of his own kingdom? He says, you just be unforgiving. And you'll get the anger of God. Your worship won't be acceptable until the attitude changes. He says, eternity is moving in the wrong direction for us. And I'm thinking, now here's the anger of God. And here he says, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. He doesn't hand him over to debtor's prison. This is different. This is torturers. You need to learn a different lesson. Now, if you notice verse 35, Jesus makes sure we understand. He says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Peter, how many times should you forgive Andrew? Every time. And what if I don't? God's now your enemy. You now stand wicked before God. Your worship is unacceptable. He says, and God's angry. And he's angry because you made your own choice to be unforgiving. You made your own choice to say, you owe me a debt, and I'm going to give you a penalty. And I'm going to hang on to this grudge until you do whatever I think you ought to do. Is that really the way you want God to treat you? I'm going to read you some verses out of Psalms. It's out of Psalm 66. Write these down. So I want to tell you another way that it affects you. Psalm 66, verses 18 through 20 says this. If I regard wickedness in my heart, if I regard wickedness in my heart, in other words, if I have wickedness, but I have a regard for it, like even a favor for it, or I justify it, I want you to see the outcome. He says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. He won't hear your prayer. But certainly God has heard. Oh, because wickedness is not going to be regarded. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness toward me. Does forgiveness matter? It changes the way God hears your prayer. Imagine standing before God as a wicked slave. The worship that I offered up in my life was unacceptable to God. He is angry with me. And now there's a debt I cannot repay that I owe. And being handed over to the torturers. And we say, I want to change that. I don't want to meet eternity like that. And here's God saying, until you are forgiving, I don't want to hear from you. Your prayer will not be heard. So does forgiveness matter? It's the difference between righteousness and wickedness. In all these verses that we've read in Matthew 6 and Matthew 18, all come specifically from the voice of Jesus, except for Peter's one question. Is that a hill worth dying on? If I'm wronged, am I willing to be loving? Love doesn't keep account of a wrong suffered. Love is patient. Love is kind. Am I patient? Am I kind? What if your brother or sister in Christ owes you money? Are you ready to forgive? Will you forgive them? Oh, but it's a big debt. Is it worth your soul? Yeah, but if I don't seek it out, how am I ever going to get paid? See, does God take care of people who seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? Did He make that promise? Carrie, they owe me $1 million. Yeah, but you owe $10 billion. And you were forgiven. Does that matter? Did Jesus wait to die for us until we made the right move? When did He choose love? When did He choose forgiveness? He's still suspended between heaven and earth. And you want to know what happens whenever you offer forgiveness? Whether it's audible or not. Finally, we're freed to love. Finally, we're freed to have joy and peace again. You ever found that unforgiving people don't have any joy and they don't have any peace? At least not that lasts very long. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. When are we going to die to forgive others? Because if we don't, eternity will be dark. But when you find the joys of forgiving others, whether it be a husband and wife, whether it be your father or your mother or your children, step relationships, stepbrother, stepsister? How big of a debt do you want to have on your account when you stand before the king? And yet here's the king saying, if you'll offer mercy and forgiveness, you don't even have to be concerned about a debt. Because we stand in fellowship together in this kingdom. And may we stand together as a forgiving people. How could you forgive so much? Maybe you don't understand how much I've been forgiven. My debt was big. And I can't go home with it. I've got to be a forgiving person. So does forgiveness matter to you? It's a question you need to ask yourself. Because it matters to God.